Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. What is aromatherapy? Is it considered an art or is it a science? Do you have to have a special nose for it? Do you come up smelling of roses or is it just a damp squib? What's its purpose and what are the oils used and where do they come from? To tell me more, I'm joined on the line by Colleen O'Flaherty-Hilder, who's an aromatherapist from the International Federation of Aromatherapists, and she joins me now. Good evening, Colleen.
Oh, good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining me tonight. For anybody that's unfamiliar, and I must admit it's not my strong subject, what is aromatherapy and how does it work?
So the definition of aromatherapy, it is the therapeutic application of essential oils. And the key word is therapeutic. Aromatherapy tends to give the impression it's all about fragrance. Mm-hmm. But that's only part of it. Therapeutic, you mentioned, is it an art or is it a science? It's both, in fact.
Right.
Because it's a therapy that has been recognised for thousands of years.
So literally it goes back that far.
Yes, it's mentioned in the Old Text, in the Old Testament, in the Book of Exodus, where allegedly God told Moses to make a blend of cinnamon, myrrh, and rose, and blend those oils with olive oil, and use them for anointing.
Right,
and that would be anointing royalty, priests. It became a sacred ritual.
Right. Okay. So clearly it's steeped back in, you know, thousands and thousands of years, as you say. So, I mean,
yes, and it was also used in Egyptian times, both for therapeutic reasons and also for embalming.
Oh,
so that
yes.
gives you an understanding of the properties that essential oils can give you.
Right.
In terms of preserving organic material.
Now, you work with the International Federation of Aromatherapists. Tell me about the organisation.
So, we were the first professional body for aromatherapists to be registered in 1985. And since then, we have spread outside of the UK, and we have schools all over the world, in fact. And our reason for being a raison d'etre is to protect the public. So we ensure that therapists who are trained by the IFA are trained to a high standard and are professional all the time.
Okay. So tell me about the specific ailments and conditions that aromatherapy treats. Now, I was saying at the beginning, my back isn't brilliant and I usually have a hot stones massage, but they use essential oils on my back. And the mm-hmm. actual fragrance of the oils relaxes me so much, and so they can actually work on the difficult part of my back. Now, that's just one snapshot of it, but what other ailments can aromatherapy benefit?
Well, you mentioned two things there, where you said the fragrance helps you to relax. So aromatherapy works on the physical body, and I'll go into more detail about the different ailments as well.
Mm-hmm.
But quite importantly, particularly at this moment in time, they have an excellent benefit for mental health and emotional well-being.
Right, okay.
So I'll explain that a bit later. So the sorts of conditions it helps. Every system of the body can be helped with essential oils. The skin, for instance, if you have acne, eczema, psoriasis, healing of scar tissue. Then if you suffer from arthritis, if you've got painful joints, a blend of essential oils will reduce the pain, take away the inflammation. For the digestive system, IBS, constipation, reproductive system, if you have premenstrual tension, menopausal symptoms, infertility, upper respiratory problems, colds, flus, sore throats, circulation as well, improved circulation. I think I've covered most of the systems of the body, but when it comes to mental health, a process of olfaction is the way in which the fragrance actually affects the brain chemistry. So at the top of the nose, inside the nose, you have an organ called the olfactory bulb. So when you inhale essential oils, the molecules go up the nose, hit the olfactory bulb where we have exposed nerves, and that vibration affects the brain chemistry, balances brain chemistry, uplifts mood, helps you sleep, good for depression.
Right. So essentially, you inhale it, if you like, and then that alters the chemical composition of the brain then.
Yes. And this is scientifically proven as well.
Right, okay. So give me an example of an essential oil that you use, for example.
I particularly use geranium a lot because that is very beneficial to balance the adrenal glands and the stress hormones.
Right, okay.
So you can use that on the body, and how you use essential oil on the body is never neat. You would always dilute it in a vegetable oil.
Oh, okay. Why
like
do you dilute it then?
You have it, well, they're very, very concentrated. You know, essential oils are derived from plants, but they contain chemicals which are very powerful. They might be natural chemicals, but they're still very powerful.
Yes.
If you use them neat on the body, you can cause burning, irritation, a rash. They can be toxic as well if they're absorbed in too high a concentration. Yes, and that's very important. I mean, for a massage, you would use 3% essential oil, sometimes even less than that in a dilution. You know, for instance, there are cases where you must never use them in the first 3 months of pregnancy, for babies. And people are on certain medication.
Mm-hmm. So essentially then, as you say, if you're not careful, they can be quite dangerous.
Yes.
Which is why, obviously, you undergo an awful lot of training before being accredited to use them.
Yes, absolutely. And this is what a lot of people don't realise, because in the last couple of decades, aromatherapy products are very commonplace. In shops, in the high street, and often the only thing aromatherapeutic about them is a similarity of fragrance. They often contain synthetic fragrances.
Right, so if we want to do this ourselves at home, is it something that we can do, or are we best off going to a professional?
Always go to a professional. I mean, it doesn't have to cost an awful lot of money. You don't have to go to aromatherapist and have the full body massage treatment. You can go to an aromatherapist and say, could you give me an inhaler stick to use for anxiety or to help me sleep?
Right, okay. So that's by far a better option, isn't it?
Yes, and that aromatherapist would check out your medical history, see if you're taking any medication, and give you a blend which is tailored just for you.
And I guess now you talk about medication there. For those of us that take medication, there are certain oils, I guess, that shouldn't be used depending on the medication that you're on.
Yes.
Okay.
And depending on the individual as well, because we all respond differently to both medication and natural remedies. So it's the education of the therapist who understands that. It isn't one size fits all when it comes to aromatherapy. I often see in magazines they suggest, if you can't sleep, use lavender in your bath. Well, some people actually are stimulated by lavender.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I get that. I must admit, when I can't sleep, I drink chamomile tea. I mean, clearly that's not an oil, but that's how I sort of send myself off to sleep, and that works very well. But as you say, it's all about getting the right advice from an aromatherapist who's done all the training, and as you say, they tailor it just for the individual. Now, you mentioned geranium oil, which is one that you use. Can you give me some examples of other oils that are used, and where do they come from? I mean, geraniums, obviously, well, comes from the geranium plant, but, you know, what about other things?
Yes, but interestingly, it comes from the leaves, not the flowers of the geranium plant.
Oh, right, okay. Now, I'm growing some geraniums at home at the moment. I can't just go and press some leaves, then.
No. And in fact, it's a process called distillation, actually, where the actual leaves or the petals, if it's rose, for instance, are put in a container with water where it's heated. Steam is produced, and then that steam travels down a condenser. And the liquid that comes from that condenser is the essential oils.
It's certainly an exact science, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, it's not just a case of putting any plant in a pot with steam. The quality of the plant you use is absolutely vital. And also when it's harvested, how it's handled completely from beginning to end. And people who do this job, distillers, it's a craft and a skill that's handed down from generation to generation, particularly in France, where this really was very, very big, and that's where it started.
I'm with you. We can't get this on the NHS, can we?
Not from your GP, but you will find aromatherapy treatments in hospices. Cancer units in hospitals. We have one of our colleagues who makes lots of these inhaler sticks for people who are having chemotherapy and they're feeling nauseous. So a certain blend of essential oils can help with the nauseous side effects of chemotherapy. And, I think 28 years ago, I was involved in one of the first complementary units at the Mount Vernon Hospital in North London. Mm-hmm. So you will find that midwives use them. It's very good during labour. Certain essential oils will help with the delivery.
Right.
So scattered around NHS, you will find them. And the ISA did pioneer the use of aromatherapy in the NHS hospitals in 1990.
So it is very, very widely used then. I was of the opinion incorrectly that you know, as you say, it's something you just get from an aromatherapist, but it clearly has wide-ranging benefits and is used in, you know, lots of different ways and different organisations. Are there any side effects to using to aromatherapy?
Well, the only side effect is if you take them incorrectly or if they're administered incorrectly, and you can feel nausea, you can get a headache, you can be overstimulated and not be able to sleep. As I said, you can have problems with your skin afterwards. The list can go on. But you did mention that you weren't aware how widely this was used. In France and other countries in Europe, a lot of the medical doctors actually use aromatherapy as medicine. So it was originally used to be taken, you know, orally, like a medicine.
Yes.
But, you know, once again, I noticed that there are some organisations who say that you can do this by taking the neat essential oil. You must never, ever take neat essential oils. Ingest it or on the skin.
Right, so that's an absolute no-no. No ingestion.
Absolutely.
And no application to the skin. It is just to be used in the way that you have already explained.
Yeah.
How is the International Federation of Aromatherapists involved with research into the use and effectiveness of this? Because you do a lot of research, don't you?
Well, we are involved in various pockets of research, but we were responsible for two main conditions of research, and that was endometriosis and also MS. The issue we have is research is very, very costly. Very costly. We are a charity, and in this country, there is not much money allocated to research in complementary medicine. However, some of our colleagues have been involved in research. One of our colleagues was involved in research with essential oils being effective against MRSA. Also, a doctor, we have a colleague in Germany who is involved in research with essential oils being able to break through the cells of bacteria where pharmaceutical products can't. Mm-hmm. There is an awful lot of research done outside of this country, in Europe, Australia, America, Russia, Southeast Asia, but unfortunately, the medical profession in this country doesn't recognise research that is done outside of the UK. So that makes it a bit difficult to get more credibility. Mm.
Now, you say it's costly doing research, which it clearly is. How are you funded then? Because you're a charity, so where does your investments come from and your funding?
We have a membership fee for all our members. We also conduct exams internationally, and people have to pay to take those exams.
Right.
So that's how we are funded. We also have a magazine that we sell. Our members get it free, but other people buy the magazine. So
right.
That's how we get our money.
Now,
we are not absolutely, our coffers are not overfilled.
No, I'm sure not. Now, you're working also around Aromatherapy Awareness Week. What are you hoping to achieve during that week, and what activities are you running?
Well, what we want to achieve, and this is the 13th year we've run the Aromatherapy Awareness Week, is to really bring an emphasis to the therapeutic aspect of aromatherapy, because people tend to think of aromatherapy as something that you would use for a pampering treatment, a beauty treatment, but that's really not what it's about. And we want to promote this as a very real and credible and useful therapy for mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And if it's used correctly, there are no side effects.
Sure. I also think it's worth pointing out, and I wouldn't dispute anything that you have said, but is this a substitute for the standard medication that we receive from our GP? Should we favour this over medication from our GP, or should we use it in partnership with that?
I don't think it's an either-or at all. I think where its strength is really in prevention. For instance, if you go to a GP and you're suffering from a digestive problem, mm-hmm. the doctor will give you something, a medication for that. If you went to an aromatherapist and you said you're having digestive problems, she will identify whether it's the food you're eating, mm-hmm. stress, or if it's hormonal, and will devise a program for you to address that area. It's the same with migraine. That can be hormonal, circulation, digestion. It's not about just taking a medication. It's about recognizing what caused that condition in the first place and addressing the root cause. So I think if they were able to use aromatherapy, particularly in the preventative field, they would save a lot of money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. I take it then that aromatherapy is suitable for people of all ages. Can it be used on
totally.
Children, for example?
Yes, and in fact, we have a particular diploma that is designed for carers of children with autism. And we've had particular success with this. There is a council, Nobley Council in Liverpool, actually paid for some of their carers to go on to the training, and other agencies use it as well. Equally, this particular treatment is good for people with Alzheimer's.
Right. Okay.
So it's as I say, in the right hands, it can be used for everyone.
Colleen O'Flaherty-Hilder from the International Federation of Aromatherapists, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.